This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell, and I'll be with you for the next several minutes. And with us is our co-host, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. You can find him online at rippleconnects.com, or you can use the plain old telephone system, 763-438-1621. Happy February, Joe McKenzie, and welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad to be with you. And I'm excited about this topic because it fits right into the wheelhouse of the core audience that we're trying to reach, which is our baby boomers. And we've selected as the title this weekend for this particular segment, that success can come at any age. Now, there are some people who will argue with you, Joe McKenzie, who will say that unless you're in your 20s, that's where success starts and stops and ends. What would you say to that?
I wholeheartedly disagree with that. You will have success in your 20s and 30s, and you will have success in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. But if you have the mindset that you've achieved everything you had to achieve, and you approach your 50s, like myself, I'm in my 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to my 60s to see what I can accomplish.
Wow.
Because I'm just getting going. everything that I learned in my 20s, 30s, and 40s, and that I can harness my experience, my creativity. I may not be as productive as I was when I was 25, but I'm certainly more creative than I was at 25. And that ability to harness that has left me very optimistic for what success I'm going to drive second half of my 50s and into my 60s. And that's something I feel very strong about.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie this weekend, and he's talking about success can come at any age. It's really interesting with success. So let's peel back the onion just a little bit.
Yes.
What is success in the first place?
Success is the ability to, you know, move the needle, achieve those goals. Achieve your own personal goals, achieve those organizational goals, achieve those community goals, your family goals. That is a broad version of the success that I see. And so when you overlay it that way, and we talk about at any age, maybe our community needs us. Maybe a new organization needs us, because success can come at any age. I mentioned, strategically put in my own statement that I'm more creative now than I was at 25.
Really?
And that creativity, through my experience and my learning of collaborating with people, my creativity doesn't go away because of my age. My creativity's there. It remains there. And I believe most people's creativity remains there. And that creativity is what often drives a lot of success in our organizations. Do you agree with that statement?
I believe that it's tough to be successful if you're not creative, if you're not thinking outside of the box. It's important to have that type of focus in order to, I think success is generated through focus and creativity. I believe that's the genesis of what success is.
Yes. And as we age, that creativity doesn't go away from us. Maya Angelou, you know, talked about creativity. You don't lose it. The more you use it, the more you get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. I think the more creative you get and the more opportunities you have, you'll get better. Your creativity grows. That is something that if we are thinking that we've given everything we got and we're approaching our mid-50s, remember your creativity. Remember that experience. Remember the people that you have surrounding you that helps you to solve those problems, to think outside the box. That alone should give a lot of people reason to think that, hey, I can be successful at any age, and regardless of what society or what generations, you know, think, we're in good position at any age to have success because of that creativity.
We see a lot of young people who are successful, but there are also a lot of people who are septuagenarians. We see 50-year-olds. I can remember thinking as I was in my mid-40s, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I've got to find another career. The opportunity that I had was winding up, and I began to think about, gosh, who's going to hire somebody who's beyond 37 years old? How is that going to work? But over time, you start to see that, as you mentioned, that there is we have a lot of gifts that we've accumulated over time that can propel us into that next phase of our career. And I believe that's where the creativity comes from.
Absolutely. I was there too in my late 30s, thinking if I achieved everything that I'm going to achieve and didn't really know how to harness that creativity, that experience, that problem solving, that collaborative spirit, I didn't value those. But that's what today, in today's workplace, they value collaboration, right?
They do.
They value creativity and how to solve problems. They value the ability for people to listen to each other, to understand what the ever-changing world's in front of us. So knowing that those are valued, that's how that success could come at any age, is that organizations are looking for us, or our own organization, our entrepreneurship, our ability to be self-incorporated, our communities need us. And that's why I think it's an important topic to bring up, that there's examples to us in this world that many people after the age of 50 have been very successful. Julia Childs did not get her first cooking show until her 50s. Mm. Nelson Mandela didn't become a president until after he was released from prison, but well into his 70s and 80s. We talked about a year ago about that Nobel Peace Prize winner, John Fenn, who received that at the age of 87, but he didn't have that discovery until he was in his 70s. But that persistence, that creativity allowed those individuals to be successful at their age. And that's kind of the point I wanted to bring forward to you today, is that maybe our listeners today hear that and say, my creativity, my persistence, my problem solving collaborative spirit could be valued somewhere. Our community may need it. Our world may need it. And that's why I think this is an important topic for everybody to continue on after our discussion today, Freddie.
Interesting. Talk about significant career accomplishments when you're beyond 55. That's the heart of our baby boomer audience this morning.
That's right. You may reinvent your career, like you had mentioned, going into something different in your 30s and 40s, but really getting that traction in your 50s and 60s. Those significant accomplishments, you know, may derive from that reinvention stage of our careers. And we may lead a nonprofit, we may lead a community organization, we may lead a city or our own company to address the needs, the issues of today. That's where those significant accomplishments may lie. We may have we more than likely had them in our 20s and 30s. But those don't mean, because you achieved them in your 20s and 30s, don't mean that you won't have them in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. And I think just knowing that, Freddie, and talking about that today should, you know, resonate with people in their careers. If you're going to reinvent and harness some of those things, you're setting yourself up for those significant career accomplishments in your 50s and 60s and beyond.
Exactly. I love the examples that you gave with Nelson Mandela, Julia Childs, and John Fenn. And there's just so many, if we sit back and think about it, I think that takes the shackles off of us if we're thinking about maybe we're washed up. If we were to think about our career right now and success coming at any age, what would be something that we can do to make sure that we stay on point as we consider what's going on in our lives right now and how we can maybe turn up the energy a little bit with regard to our careers?
Well, we obviously know there's examples for us out there, but how does it apply to our own lives when we have that self-limiting mindset potentially because we're reinventing or industry's changed? Here's what I would do. I would surround yourself with the positive bench of advocates that you've built out in your life and ask for what you want or ask for help in reinventing yourself, because that may be that step that you feel that comes to you. It's a granular approach to reinvention and setting yourself up for those accomplishments, Freddie, but it's very achievable to be able to engage with those people that know you the best. Do you agree with that statement?
I do. And we got to leave it right there because I know you do some fine work. You're turning people and you're helping people to become successful. And you also do some fine work at Ripple Connects too.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to rippleconnects.com.
You are probably hearing a lot of information about COVID-19 vaccines right now. We wanted to answer some common questions about how COVID-19 vaccines have been made. How are COVID-19 vaccines made faster? Usually, testing a vaccine to make sure it is safe and works is done before large amounts of vaccines are made. Because of the pandemic and money from the federal government, scientists did both at the same time. Only vaccines that have been tested and are shown to be safe are used. How are COVID-19 vaccines tested? All COVID-19 vaccines go through tests called clinical trials. Each vaccine goes through more than one test. First, the vaccine is tested with a small group of volunteers, then a couple hundred, then tens of thousands of people. Volunteers for COVID-19 vaccine trials come from many diverse communities and backgrounds. This is the same process used for testing other vaccines. How do COVID-19 vaccines get approved? For the vaccines that make it past all the tests, a team of medical experts will look at the test results and how people felt after they got the vaccine. If the vaccine works and it's safe, it gets approved. There are many groups of scientists and experts that are reviewing the vaccine safety data for COVID-19 vaccines and making recommendations. Only approved vaccines are given to people. Who is getting vaccine first? A national advisory group for CDC looked at the data and made recommendations for who should get the vaccine first. Some groups that are at the highest risk for COVID-19 or could get very sick from COVID-19 got the vaccine first. Minnesota has a team of experts who will help make sure vaccine is available to everyone fairly, with a focus on health equity. As more vaccine becomes available over time, more people will be vaccinated. For more information about the COVID-19 vaccine, visit the Health Department's website.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and we're really excited to be joined by two great folks in our communities representing our health community. With us, first of all, is Lynn Botta, who is a public health nurse at the Minnesota Department of Health. As a vaccine expert, Lynn, as you've heard before on this program, is working to get information about COVID-19 vaccines to many different Minnesota communities so they can make the best decisions about getting vaccinated. And also joining us for the first time is Renika Evans, who is the lead COVID-19 health program representative, a senior for the LGBTQA community. Renika is currently working with the Minnesota Department of Health as well to close the gap between health injustice and health equity. Her goal is to fight tirelessly against COVID-19. And As we're talking about closing that gap, what's the biggest or what's the biggest hurdle that you've encountered so far, Renika Evans, as you're working to close that gap between health injustice and health equity?
Okay, so thank you, Freddie. The biggest gap, to be honest, would be trust. Trusting systems. I represent the LGBTQ community and the Black community. And my role is to actually, you know, reach out, provide information to the community, and for some individuals actually encourage them to be vaccinated and tested. And what I'm finding that trust is one of the number one concerns that community is having with systems at this time. And I'm sure we can understand with what's been going on 6 months ago, the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul was on fire. And so that's just an instant reminder of showing that there's some concerns with systems, but we are here today to really encourage individuals to put those things aside, because at this point, we need to be here and take the vaccinations and live life to its fullest.
Indeed. So how do you start to build that trust, Lynn? I know you work with all communities. How is trust being built, and what extra steps are being taken to build that trust in communities of color and LGBTQ?
I think having some public forums, and I think another really important thing that we have had to do is just acknowledge that historical trauma and current injustices and inequities really do impact trust, and allow the community to talk about that between the experts and one another, so that it is out on the table, it is acknowledged, and that distrust and that nervousness about getting vaccine is okay. You know, that's where we need to start. And as people get more information, they can begin to start to get comfortable. But that acknowledgement initially is really an important part.
It's really interesting in that a lot of people that I've talked with are concerned about the speed with which these vaccines are being developed, when typically we've heard over the years that it takes a lot of time to bring a vaccine to market. A lot of people have harkened back to different tests that have been done on people of color. How do we allay those kinds of fears, Lynn?
I think that it's important for people to know that no step was skipped. But what happened was we were able to do a lot of the research at the same time, and especially the clinical trials, which usually take 3 to 5 years. We were able to do them one on top of another, and that really sped up the time. And a lot of money was poured into this because we are dealing with a really devastating disease. This is a pandemic, and we are seeing thousands of people die every day. And so we needed to pour money into this. I think that the other piece of this was, as companies began to make their designs for the research, they were asked to make sure that they were inclusive of all adults of all ages, inclusive of all adults that had health problems such as hypertension, diabetes, obesity. So those are all of those types of people were included. But more importantly, they really worked hard to invite participants to be a part of the research from various race and ethnicities. And so they, even though they probably didn't get a full representation of the diversity here in the U.S., they had really good representation, so that we can look at data for each of those groups. If you are 40 and overweight, there's data. If you're African-American and you're 65, there's data. So I think that's really an important part of how they went about developing the vaccines that we're seeing available.
So that's the developmental part, Lynn Botta. We're talking with also Renika Evans, who is the lead COVID-19 health programs specialist working in specific communities. We just heard earlier this week that a vaccine is rolling out to pharmacies with Walgreens and a few others. So how can we, how is the health department working with communities to let the information be known that the vaccines are available? And how can you help to, again, to build the trust that it's okay to go to a pharmacy, it's okay to go to Walmart or Walgreens and get this COVID-19 injection, Renika?
Good question. Again, Freddie. But Freddie, when we're talking about COVID-19 at this point, Minnesota Department of Health has created a department that is working on trust and distributing information to the community. And we have what we call in-house CCC, which I call COVID-19 Community Coordinators. And I would like to take a moment to explain and tell you what that looks like. So we have the leads, and then we have the contractors. We have lead CCCs in 8 different areas. We have 8 leads. We have an individual from African-American community, Asian-American, Latinx, disabilities, African-born, African immigrants, myself with the LGBTQ plus community, and new refugee. Also, with those individuals leading the pack on the way with COVID-19, we also have individuals who work in language and accessibility. And when I say languages, we mean many, many different languages in order to communicate this, get this message across. And accessibility, we're referring to individuals with different abilities and not just focusing on like handicap or vision impaired. So I want to put that out there up front. So we have lead individuals in place. And then we have community contractors, which are also called CCCs, but that's only like, that's not an in-house language. That's shared with the community. And what they do, they are collaborating with Minnesota Department of Health, local public health departments, and their jobs is to help support us on vaccine information, the testing processes, vaccination protocols, and we can help navigate the system. So I just wanted to put that out there.
That's really great. We're just about out of time. If there was a final thought, we only have about 30 seconds or so. If there was a final thought that each of you would like to leave with our communities this weekend, what would that be? First, Lynn Botta.
I want people to understand that every shot in the arm gets us closer to ending this pandemic. And that's what we need.
Well said. Renika Evans, you have the final word.
I would like to say that to the community, if you have any questions or concerns, think about the vaccination or testing, feel free to call me. I'm at 612-552-9445. That is my my work cell phone number. I will pick it up from 9 o'clock a.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. Once again, this is Renika Evans. Thank you.
Well said. Renika Evans and Lynn Botta, can't thank you enough for being with us, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today. This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And right now it's time to turn our attention to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. It's our pleasure now to introduce the property manager for the center, Kitty Harris, and she's got some great things to share with us. That address, if you'd like to understand where they are, is at 1015 4th Avenue North. General number is 612-344-2221. Happy holidays, Kitty, and welcome back to the program.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
You know, it was interesting. I know that typically the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is just a real hub for activity with a lot of programs and events for the advanced age community with experiential things that happen. I remember the turkey dinners and so forth, the holiday dinners. But things have changed a little bit, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the center is closed to all activity.
Right. It definitely looks different this year with so many different organizations that have reached out and said, how can we help our seniors so that they don't feel isolated and they don't feel forgotten? And VOA has been key in being the connection and being on that front line for us to continue to provide that service.
So for those who don't understand what VOA does, Volunteers of America, how do they support the communities you serve?
So we have VOA social workers that are assigned certain buildings. We have contracts with them, and they're assigned certain senior buildings throughout North and South Minneapolis. And they work with residents around scheduling, from things as small as scheduling rides to tax preparation to helping them get connected with mental health resources. And so they're that conduit in the building on a day-to-day basis for the Housing Authority, because we have, where the MPHA is like literally the largest landlord in the state of Minnesota. So our VOA social workers are very vital at being present in the buildings to help provide those connections to those resources that we have access to as a partner, but we're not, don't always have the staff manpower to physically be there to execute it.
Talk about your connection with the Public Housing Authority. I know that people are facing evictions and they're wondering what their tenant rights are and so forth. What can we say to help people who are going through those kinds of thought patterns or those kinds of instances right now where they may be facing eviction, they may have food insecurity and so on?
Well, we definitely encourage people to either call 311 or 611 to get more information. MPHA is currently still under its eviction moratorium, and that's a statewide prohibition. So we do encourage people, if you're having a situation where a landlord is coming to you during this time and trying to evict you due to non-payment, if you needed relief from COVID, that they should actually contact legal aid, because that is illegal at this time. That statewide moratorium is in place until January the 10th. We do expect that that will be renewed. There's just so many different COVID-19 relief bills are ever changing, but there is still funding available in the Twin Cities area for not only Minneapolis, but St. Paul and the surrounding suburbs. And so if people would look online, they could always go to mphaonline.org, and there's links that can connect them to resources in the community on where you can get assistance with your late payments or where you can get assistance with rental assistance, not just being a Minneapolis public housing resident, but being a community member in the Twin Cities. But again, you can call United Way, you can call 311, you can call 611 to know that these moratoriums are still in place and people should not be having any eviction, any fear that they would get evicted while this is in place.
That's Kitty Harris. She is a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Happy New Year to you, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And let's turn our attention right now to aging in place. And what is aging in place, first of all, is maybe you've got a home that you've lived in for 30, 40 years, and maybe you don't want to go to a group home or to live with relatives. You'd just rather live where you are. Well, the best places to retire list are great conversation starters, but the vast majority of Americans have no intention of making a move in retirement. They want to age right where they are. That's a blind spot that can drag down multiple generations within a family. The 60-somethings who refuse to game out the best moves to make now for their 80 to 90-year-old future selves are unconsciously transferring those hard decisions onto their children and their grandchildren. If you think contemplating a move in your 60s is difficult, the hurdle will be physically and emotionally higher later on. That can lead to the kids scrambling to bring services into your home, a move that often requires them to bear some of the cost, and even more costly is the decision more and more adult children, mostly women, make to quit their jobs to care for an elderly parent. That puts their own household futures, retirement security, at risk. And that can trickle down to their grandkids as well, not just in a tighter college budget, but the increased risk that their parents will not be set up well to afford retirement. So while in your 50s and 60s and in good health, it's important to take a clear-eyed look at what you might consider doing now to make your retirement work for you and your entire family in the future. And that could include discussing this wish with your adult children. Can you really afford to stay put? The goal should be that you can cover basic living expenses from guaranteed retirement income, Social Security, and a pension if you have one, and any required minimum distributions from traditional 401ks and IRAs. Even if you own your own home and have the mortgage paid off, don't lose sight of property tax and maintenance. If you don't live in a region that offers property tax breaks to older homeowners, you also need to bake in that your property tax bill will continue to climb over a long retirement. No idea how to scope out the future cost of staying put? Well, there are plenty of certified financial planners you can hire on an hourly or project basis to help you to crunch those numbers. Is it safe to stay put? The vast majority of homes do not have a layout that works well for seniors. Too many stairs, no bedroom bath on the entry level, a shower that requires stepping into a tub. The time to make those age-in-place renovations is now in your 50s and 60s. And consider the psychological safety of where you live. Do you and your family need to travel a long distance, on busy roads, to see each other? Is there a big stair climb into your home? Can these obstacles be overcome, and can they be obstacles to social connections later on? Can you help your kids by moving closer? Maybe not into their homes, but maybe out back perhaps, converting a garage into a small home or a building, a separate small unit that brings you all close while maintaining some healthy distance. Some communities are becoming open to allowing homeowners to build accessory dwelling units. This is becoming really popular. And if you're game for a bigger retirement relocation, focus on future needs, not just today's wants. Warm weather is a popular criterion for best places list, but a nonprofit consortium that tracks every state's level of support and services for long-term care needs, Florida's overall is at the bottom. The states with the highest scores across five broad categories, cost of care, support for family caregivers, etc., were right here in Minnesota, Washington, and Wisconsin. You can learn more at longtermscorecard.org. We've been talking about the best places to retire and aging in place, aging where you are right now. And the big takeaway today is that if you're in your 50s or 60s or you're approaching that age, now is the time to start making those plans, not by yourself, but also with your family. I'm Freddie Bell. You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us right now is our wonderful friend from West Metro Hypnosis, the founder of that wonderful organization, Kelly Von Heidekamp. You can find her at westmetrohypnosis.com. Here's the number, 952-222-3975. It's time for a mindful reset. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Freddie. Thank you so much for having me here with you today. And I invite our listeners to just take a moment to breathe. And on this weekend of Valentine's Day, where our thoughts turn outwards to our loved ones, oftentimes in the form of romantic love, I invite us to take a moment and go inward and breathe. To just take a moment to become fully present in your body and connect with your own heart and breathe. And in connecting and bringing your attention to your own heart, to feel the steady, rhythmic movement, the support that it offers, and taking a moment to appreciate the consistency in which it supports you, to take a moment to appreciate that which keeps it beating. And I like to think of that force as a life force, a force of love. And so you can take a few moments for yourself this weekend of love, surrounded by hearts everywhere you look, to turn some of that inward and to bathe yourself in love and appreciation, to feel yourself enveloped in a wonderful, brilliant light enveloping you in total love. And I invite you to maybe take on the acronym for love. Let omnipotence vibrate everywhere. Feel the love and intelligence and the creativity of life flowing within you and through you, and know at a deep level what tremendous love you are capable of, deserving of. Feel your heart open up. Receive and take it in. Happy Valentine's Day. Thanks for being here.
That's Kelly Von Hanekamp of West Metro Hypnosis, westmetrohypnosis.com, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975, West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
So today we will not be exploring methods of prayer, nor the history of prayer within religious traditions. Instead, I'd like us to consider the potential and the effects of a consciousness and consistent pattern of thought that Unity calls prayer. In the beginning of our Unity tradition, I believe there was a balanced presentation of the practice of prayer for one's own inner development and as a blessing that we extended to others. One of our longest activities in the Unity movement is our international prayer ministry known as Silent Unity. It began in 1890 as an invitation to people to come together and hold a focused thought. The thought was published by Unity's monthly magazine, Unity, so everybody knew what the focus would be. And people who were willing gathered at noon and again at 9 p.m. each day to collectively join in that thought of silent unity, that oneness found in prayer. The thought, later described as a prayer of affirmation or release, was a benefit to the individual and to lift the collective consciousness of humanity. In other words, it was a thought that linked the individual and the collective with a truth principle, an idea that grasped the eternal or lasting qualities of life. I hope you notice the distinction of prayer for the individual and the community in our very order of service every Sunday. We join in a community prayer that focuses on a collective affirmative idea for our church, our community, our nation, our world. And I will often, in contrast, at the end of a lesson, invite you into a visualization or inner prayer that is for your own development, for your own inner imagination of how your life is evolving. So we have a time that we pray together for the good of all, and then we have a time that we pray individually for our own understanding, peace, healing, and development. Now, before I give a long history lesson, let me give a relevant example. As I entered our church building early this morning, I saw the many beautiful plants and flowers coming up in our landscape. The tulips outside are budding. The Lenten roses are blooming. The forsythia is bright yellow. A peony bush outside my office is growing rapidly. I stopped for a moment and thought, as humanity is suffering through this world pandemic, nature everywhere is showing us its life force, throwing out a so-called lifeline to lift us from despair, worry, or hopelessness. Life goes on and on. So in Unity's understanding of prayer, it is to grasp in thought and feeling an idea of lasting, ongoing qualities, and then to see ourselves as an important part of that ongoing life. Therefore, this morning, I said to myself, within the natural world, life is springing forth with power and beauty. The world is being reborn, and I am a part of this world. The same forces of growth and renewing life are active in me now. I am continually being healed by life. And then I remembered that song. My thoughts are prayers, and I am always praying. I might say to myself, I am always creating my experience by how I see myself in the great picture of life that God has created and has created me as a part of that great life. Let's turn now to the potential benefits of a prayer process on our individual life. We consider the human spiritual being to be body, soul, and spirit. So how can prayer be a healing for our body, soul, and spirit? For several decades, research has been conducted on the benefit to the body through the practice of prayer and meditation. The simple focus on our body's rhythmic breathing and pulse of the heart can bring calm to the body and peace to the mind. We simply allow ourselves to rest in that natural rhythm of life that sustains us with each breath and with each heartbeat. Several universities over time have conducted research, even specifically with silent unity. It has a history, silent unity, of a nonstop vigil of prayer that it has maintained for almost 130 years. That prayer has never ceased in more than a century. Every year, millions of people call on Silent Unity for prayer support. So it has provided a rich opportunity for research into the benefits of prayer. In addition to physical benefits to the body, prayer can support peace of mind and heart. Our soul life or inner life can experience the release of anxiety and the empowerment of hope and inspiration. Third, our spirit, that which we consider to be our essential self, our higher truth, the very core of our existence, is also benefited by prayer that focuses on our connection with the infinite, the everlasting, the all possibility of life, existence itself. Paul described it for the people of Athens as he spoke, God, in which we live and move and have our very being.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.